Hey folks, and welcome to this episode of The Grow Show. Hi everyone, and welcome to this episode of The Grow Show. Now, The Grow Show is here to help you grow yourself, grow your business, and grow your community. And my guest today is fantastic, and I can't wait to view to hear her story. So, if you wouldn't mind just introducing yourself and telling peeps a little bit about what you're up to at the moment before we delve more in depth in your background, your journey, and all that good stuff.
All right, Gary, thanks for the invite anyway. I'm Chris Ramsbottom, and I run the Amethyst Centre, which is on Bald Hill in Coventry. It's a complementary therapy and training centre, and we've been going for about 5 years now. We opened on the 1st of September 2015, and so we're sort of 5 years into the process of running a business now.
Nice. And the Amethyst Centre is located in a great place. Where, if people don't know Coventry at all, because this is going to go all across the country, where is Coventry in the UK?
Right, Coventry is what sometimes I refer to with tongue-in-cheek as the dead centre of the UK, of England. Okay. Anyway. The actual physical centre of England is just a few miles up the road, but we are right in the middle, and the Amethyst Centre itself is just outside the city centre, about half a mile from Coventry Cathedral. We're on a busy main road. It's the road between the Walsgrave Super Hospital and the city centre. Okay. So it's quite a good location to be in because it's very well served with public transport and lots of parking and things like that.
Brilliant. And a typical day for you at the Amethyst Centre, just describe it to the peeps.
Yeah, it's, when we're open, of course, 9 till whatever time the last therapist finishes. I usually open up and my business partner, Janet, usually locks up for us. Okay. We have a firm of physios that work from there. In fact, we have two. One is there not Monday to Friday, and the other firm is just there on Friday at the moment. We have three therapy rooms and a training room. So we hire them out to therapists. If people want to work from there on an ad hoc basis, we can accommodate that. Or if people want to base themselves there, we can accommodate that as well.
So giving people the freedom to actually run their own businesses from there.
If they want to tap into our expertise and our networks, then we'll gladly help people get off the ground, because I was that therapist once. I started off from nothing myself, and so I've been there, and I know the pitfalls. If we can help them on their journey, then we will.
Brilliant. Let's talk about that. So how did you get into therapy, and what types of therapy really kind of get you going?
I always wanted to work with people. Okay. And I did a social studies degree, part of which I studied counselling, but I never actually qualified. And then this was early 80s and Thatcher and all that, and no jobs. So I retrained as a secretary and temped for 10 years, kept my family going, as you do. Then when I moved, I actually got into education and was a secretary in a college, and from that I went into teaching, and from that I got into therapy. And the way I did that was quite odd, really. I was teaching at Northampton College, in the city centre site. Mm-hmm. And I walked downstairs, and they got next year's prospectuses out. And so I picked it up and thought, oh, I'll have a look at what I'll be teaching next year, sort of tongue in cheek. And the prospectus fell open at the Diploma in Complementary Therapies. And I thought, oh, I've always wanted to do that. So I did a bit more research into it and found that I could actually do the course as well as teach, because I was only teaching on an hourly paid basis and the course was only 15 hours a week. So that's what I did, and that's how I became a complementary therapist, quite by accident, but it's the best thing I ever did.
Oh, brilliant. And at that time, what was the complementary therapy kind of environment, scene, whatever you want to call it, what did it look like?
It was quite stable in one sense, in that all the major colleges offered level 3 qualifications in complementary therapies, and there were quite defined career progression routes through which I tried to replicate when I set up the centre, more or less. When I found out that a lot of the colleges, especially around here, have actually dropped complementary therapies now, or only teach it up to level two, and you need to be level three qualified in order to practice. So given my educational background, I decided that I'd fill that gap. And so last year, or a couple of years ago now, we partnered with an organisation called Phoenix, who help us run the qualifications at level three, because I can teach at that level. So we're sort of busy running that at the moment, as well as everything else. But that's our major training focus at the moment.
Nice. And those therapies are?
Right. They're aromatherapy, reflexology. We can also teach Swedish massage. There are loads of different therapies that we can teach. I'm also a teaching Reiki master, so I teach Reiki. But we can teach all sorts of things like ear candling and Lomi massage, because of the tutors and therapists that are associated with the centre. So if somebody wants to learn a therapy, if they ask us, we could usually find somebody to teach it.
Oh, brilliant. And which one, when you were kind of making that decision right at the start, you said that you had an interest in it right at that stage.
Yeah.
Was there one of those that you really kind of fell into, or do you like them all equally? Or is it like asking someone what their favourite child is?
Almost, yeah. My favourite therapy is aromatherapy. That involves massage as well, which I'm currently unable to do, but I can make up blends of oils for people and do consultations. So just at the moment, I like to do Reiki, because it's not onerous on the therapist. You know, I don't have to move mountains of flesh about apart from my own. If I'm massaging somebody, it can be quite onerous. I should just tell people I had my left shoulder replaced about 12 weeks ago, and this is my first week back at work. We're getting there. Every day I come home and I'm absolutely wore out, but it's so worth it.
Oh, I'm glad you said it's so worth it, because the people are going to get your experience and kind of get your passion for it. So that is great. And hopefully the recovery process will be quite short, and it'll get there quicker.
Oh, definitely.
So aromatherapy now, Reiki. And if people don't know really what Reiki is, am I saying it correctly?
It stands for, it's a Japanese word, and the key is something we're familiar with Tai Chi. You know, it's the same thing, it's energy, basically. And Rei roughly translates as universe. So we're talking about the energy of the universe that practitioners are attuned to and can manipulate and can work with.
Okay.
So it falls under the heading of energy therapies, which there are quite a few. And it's actually quite popular, believe it or not, in hospices. I volunteered for Myton at one stage, our local hospice, and it was the most requested therapy at Myton Hospice, because it brings such peace and comfort to people who are seriously ill and on the road out, if you like. And people get a lot of calmness and pleasure from it. Not just the therapist. I love doing it. But my clients also say how calm it makes them feel and how it helps them to cope with everyday life afterwards.
Brilliant. I must admit, I've been doing, over the last kind of 150 odd days, I've been doing Tai Chi every day.
Yeah.
So in terms of me trying to balance my energy and understanding the flow and understanding pretty much kind of myself, really, that really helps. So I can imagine
it's the physical way of manipulating ki, if you like. What we do with Reiki is it's the psychic, for want of a better word, the spiritual way. So we've got both sides. I try to do Tai Chi myself, but I get confused.
The physical Tai Chi isn't a great level. You think, I've been doing it for 152 days straight. Think I'd know more, but
I know
it's the same practices, and it's what it does during it. And I'm at a very, very basic level. And I think I'm going to be a student to Tai Chi for years and years and years and decades to come. You know, they're never going to stop learning. It's fantastic.
Yeah,
it is. So I understand that from that point of view. Is there kind of misconceptions of what you're doing in terms of your industry? Because you say it's energy, and it's under the name kind of energy studies or energy
energy medicine. You could call it that.
Yeah. You know what? When you hear that, and where people hear that, do they have some misconceptions about what you do?
There are several, and it always amuses me that people think they know what we do and they have no idea. And they also think that they know what the medical profession think of us as well, and they have no idea. But when I volunteered at Mighton, we were given something I call parity of esteem with the clinical staff as the complementary therapy side, because they could see that what we did worked. You all right? What we do works for their patients. It's and so many medics these days know what we do as Reiki practitioners, and appreciate what we do. So it's becoming more and more mainstream. And I have to laugh at the amount of people who say, you're conning people, or words to that effect. Because when I query them about it, they say, well, medical science don't approve of it. Well, from my perspective and my experience, medical science does approve of it. One day they'll be able to explain exactly what it does. And that day is getting closer. Mm. There's a lot of research programs now to be able to look at the effects of Reiki on patients and the way it works. So it's not woo-woo, it's not witchcraft. There is something to it, and we work alongside mainstream medicine, which is why we call it complementary therapy. We don't say it's an alternative. It's not. It's meant to work alongside medicine.
Brilliant. And I do think there's actually a lot of examples of ancient technologies and ancient theology and methods that may have been forgotten that actually science is catching up with. So I completely understand that side of it, because there's a lot of things that I think actually over the next 10, 20 years, I'm not going to go into it in this podcast, that actually I think we are just learning that. We are now just touching the surface and rediscovering. So that's really interesting you say that about Reiki, because I never thought about it like that.
Yeah. We have a sort of equivalent. Every culture has a sort of equivalent, if you like. In this country, we're familiar with spiritual healing, and I do that as well. At the centre, we have a spiritual healer who works from there on a donation basis. Mm. So it's widespread. The idea of working with people's energy is in every culture.
Mm. So let's go back to the Amethyst Centre, because that's really interesting in terms of your background and what you've done and what your passions are in terms of that. And so you're giving the people the opportunity to actually work from there, to train from there, to do kind of have actual experiences there as well. Where can you see that going, and what can you see kind of the future for centres like yourself?
I think we set up at exactly the right time with think whatever's happening to the NHS, whatever they tell you, things are changing. And this was part of my thinking when I set it up. There's going to have to be some sort of safety net for people who fall out of the NHS, who get told, I'm sorry, we can't do any more for you, because we can. That was one of my pet peeves at the hospice, by the way, that one of their pet peeves as well, that mainstream medicine in Walsgrove Hospital would say, I'm sorry, Mrs. X, there's nothing more we can do for you, without actually saying, but we know somebody who can, who is literally just down the road in the hospice.
Yeah, literally down the road,
And this was their mantra. If the clinical team can't do anything for them, there's always somebody else who can do something to make their life easier. And that's where also in the occupational therapy and physio, that's where we all came in. Brilliant. So that's where the Amethyst Centre comes in. And there are plenty of similar centres up and down the country. That's where we come in, because people are going to need to take their own health into their own hands more and more. Mm-hmm. And they can make use of the services that we offer.
Yeah. And for anybody who's kind of interested in this kind of area of well, this area of medicine and the area of spirituality, and want to learn a little bit more, where do you think they should start? Because I'm sure there's loads of information out there in all different manners, but where, as someone within the industry, would you advise them to start?
Well,
apart from come to your centre,
apart from come to us, if you, there's all sorts of stuff on Dr. Google and Dr. YouTube, some of which is credible, some of which isn't. So you have to.
This is why I asked. There's going to be loads of information out there. How do you know?
The only thing I can say is that you develop a gut instinct for these things, and sometimes you watch the videos and you think, what is this going on? You know. That sort of thing. They're usually the ones that you should take with a complete salt mine, to be honest. There are, for the spiritual side, there are plenty of spiritualist churches, but there are also sort of pop-up churches or organisations around Coventry, certainly, because that's where I'm based. Mm-hmm. We had a spiritualist church close about 6 months after the centre opens, and we took on their healing work. The worship has gone elsewhere because I was quite clear that I wasn't going to have the place used for worship, because I want everybody to feel comfortable, regardless of what their religion is, to come to the centre. So the worship has gone elsewhere, but there are all sorts of places that you can turn to. And there are a lot of teachers. We don't have a teacher working full time at the moment. That might change in the next 6 months. I'm certainly investigating other avenues. I certainly feel more comfortable either teaching Reiki or teaching the sort of physical therapies like the aromatherapy and reflexology. But we have a lot of other teachers and healers on our books that we can call in.
Brilliant. And if people wanted to find out information about the Amethyst Centre and learn a bit more about what you're up to there, this is your time to find out any websites and social media links. So how can people get in touch?
Yeah, we're on amethystcentre.com for our website. Social media, that's Facebook, is also Facebook/the Amethyst Centre. I'm on Instagram as Amethyst Centre Boss, and I'm on Twitter as The Amethyst Cent. C-E-N-T at the end, because I couldn't quite fit centre on. But never mind. I take part in the Cov Hour every week, every Thursday between 8 and 9. So you'll see me pop up on there, and we have details. The website has a newsletter that you can sign up to as well.
Ace, cracking. And I always ask everyone who comes onto the show what their final thought is. So this is their one golden nugget, which, if I'm going to impart one bit of wisdom to anyone, it would be this. So what's your final thought?
Well, my thought is around setting up in business, because I've just been at a meeting this morning talking to people about this. And what I want to say to people is that if you want to set up in business, do it. It's worth exploring. There is so much support out there for you. So just do it. And if you don't know, ask, because that's what I did. And 5 years down the line, we're still going. We actually got the figures back from the accounts, and we actually made a decent sized profit last year for the first time. So I'm quite happy about that. We've been here for a few more years to come.
But on that note, thank you so much for your time today. I love that final thought. I love the insights, and let's talk again about
please,
in the future. I think that'd be really cool to look at two different parts of it. But Chris, thanks for your time, and take care.
Thank you so much for asking me, Gary. All the best.